The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. And just a few, and we're getting a lot of reaction. I think the political temperature is definitely still up. We're getting a lot of texts and tweeting over the last couple of nights. The next election, more for Sinn Féin at the expense of other left-wing parties. That could work, because a lot of those smaller parties benefited from very big surpluses.
I have come to learn, and Fergus has complimented my youth. I'm not as young, perhaps, as he thinks. But every election is different. The next election, regardless of when it will be, will be different.
Well, here's another text on that line. If there is another election, Sinn Féin will not get the same result. Not after Desi Ellis and Colin Ann's antics. It has changed the permutations.
People voted for us to solve the housing crisis.
I ask you, Matt Carthy, hand on heart, have you ever said up the rah in a social setting?
Probably, yeah. But listen, I think...
With drink taken or...
Oh, yes, possibly.
Without drink taken?
I think the lesson we've all learned is don't give political speeches...
Don't do it if there's a phone around.
Don't give political speeches at 2 o'clock in the morning in a pub. I think Michael Collins learned the same lesson. We've a big job of work to do.
Is that the reason David Cullinan isn't on the negotiation team?
No, the negotiating team was set up. Well, I was informed about it on Sunday before any of this became an issue. So, no, David is a key member. He's a member of the party's Ard Comhairle. He's going to play a big role in whatever position Sinn Féin finds itself in the next Dáil.
Were you surprised at it? I mean, if you say you said yourself, you've probably done set up the riot at some stage.
I was at Wolftones concerts. You know, I probably sang it.
Do you sing Wolftones in the shower?
No. I generally I'm too quick in the shower in the morning. I think the big problem with all this is that it's a distraction when we have a really important job of work to do.
For some people, Matt, it's deeply inappropriate for some people, and it's deeply offensive.
But it goes back to when you were talking there about why Micheál Martin was so obsessed with you and castigating you. I mean, part of that is his personal belief, I suppose, that Sinn Féin still has too many questions to answer about legacy issues, about the way the party's run and so on. The other issue, of course, is that Sinn Féin is eating into the urban working class vote that Fianna Fáil historically had as well, which is why he kept talking about Fianna Fáil going back to its roots as a community party. But that aspect, that personal aspect, and it's a generational thing as well, where Micheál Martin was asking those questions about, you know, who was really making the decisions. And he kept referring to, you know, shadowy characters who are in crucial strategic positions when it comes to the Republican movement. And I mean, they're legitimate questions that obviously aren't going to go away. And the kind of things that we're talking about are going to add to those kind of questions. So it's going to remain in the ether, that question, partly because if Sinn Féin is on the cusp of going into government or is on the cusp of power, you're going to come under the microscope. And that's a whole new level.
Well, imagine Sinn Féin being scrutinised. It's a whole novel concept altogether.
But the idea, shrugging it off as something you say at 2 o'clock in the morning, is that good enough, or should you be taking it more seriously?
No, what I'm saying, and David has apologised for the remarks.
If anyone was offended, it's the classic.
He has acknowledged that he shouldn't have spoke that way. And the point I'm making is that there's really important issues that we need to deal with.
I thought, Michael Collins, the independent TD, is that the name, Michael Collins?
Referred in a similar,
tired and emotional occasion to Shane Ross as a scumbag, and said today, I apologise for that, I need to grow up. I need to grow up out of that kind of language, that sort of language. Now, to be honest, I'd have had an awful lot more respect for David Cullinan if he'd said that, if he'd said, look, I need to grow up, and we all need to grow up. I mean, there's a side of me, I don't know any rebel songs, but if I have enough drink on me, I sing old Labour songs, I sing Tam Hall and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't bother me unduly that people with a certain kind of background, that their songs reflect their background. That doesn't bother me. But it's the insensitivity at a moment like this of just pushing it up the nose of everybody.
But it does bring the shadow of a gunman team, you know, back into the frame. And I mean, again, that's a historic team. I mean, that was very relevant when Fianna Fáil was trying to make the transition from, you know, anti-treaty to government party. A different era and a different context, but a lot of the same questions
arose.
Can I
ask you something in relation to that row about the RIC commemoration that blew up there in the run-up to the election? To what degree do you think that that pushed people's emotional buttons and set the temperature, basically, for...
It damaged Fine Gael.
It did a lot of damage to Fine Gael. And, I mean, it was interesting listening to Sean Cottle Crowe, who got elected. And, I mean, he was quite vocal, obviously, around the RIC. And he also said it benefited him hugely during the election. It's very difficult to quantify the impact that it had. But it certainly got Fine Gael off to a very, very...
There's a couple of Fine Gael... James Riley and Noel Rock both said it was a big thing on the doors.
And it's a wider thing. It's not. Dublin it was also about Brexit and what Brexit has done over the last 3 years.
But it just said, it was like the perfect ground laying for Sinn Féin to capitalise on.
It has
in terms
not benefited
of
Sinn Féin. You know,
you don't think it has benefited Sinn Féin?
No, I think it had to have.
Oh, it had to have.
But I also think...
And then obviously the fact that you used the black and tans
it fed into
music
a wider
in your party political broadcast.
It came up quite a bit, particularly with young people, which was surprising. Yeah. It was young people were really angry.
What was your read of that?
I think young people know their history. They were insulted about the, you know, they felt insulted by the very notion that you would officially commemorate the RIC, which incorporated the black and tans. It showed, I suppose, a government out of touch, that a government didn't have the cop on to know that, that it didn't engage with the Oireachtas committee that had been established precisely for that reason, that it didn't engage properly with Dermot's committee. I think it was on top of a lot of areas in which the government is clearly out of touch. It was just it was a really insensitive proposition.
We only have a few minutes left, but of course today is that day in after every election when those TDs that lost their seats come back in and pack up their offices and say goodbye to staff. Can I ask, who do we think will be very sadly missed from the last Dáil?
Oh, I think an awful lot of them will be. I mean, there's an awful lot of really, really decent people who've from across the political spectrum. I don't know anybody in the last Dáil. Well, I'll make one exception, but I won't name that exception. I don't know anyone in that I would be saying, yippee, you know, glad to see you gone. It's a really tough job. Everyone I have known who's gone into politics has gone into it with the best of intentions.
Except for that one exception, you won't tell us who it is.
I'm sure he even did too. just didn't last that long. But no, I mean, it's just really tough, really tough. And families are hurt. And you know, livelihoods are lost. And it's not easy. There are people waking up the following day wondering, where the hell do I get a job now? Because one of the odd things about being a TD is it qualifies you for everything and nothing. Do you know, you put it on your CV and then you go to an employer and, well, how are your accountancy skills? You know, I know how to run the country, but I can't do a balance sheet.
Matt, you're the newbie in the door. Who are you sorry is not still in there?
Well, I should pay tribute to my own successor, Caoimhín O'Ceallaigh, who was an outstanding parliamentarian on behalf of...
From any other party?
I think genuinely, and I wouldn't have known very many of them on a personal level, but one who I did know was Pat the Cope Gallagher, who was around an awful long time. About decisions he made along the way. He was a Republican at heart and he was a really decent person any time I met him.
And he was really supportive of the idea of Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin getting together.
Yeah, he was a very sensible man.
Hugh.
I miss Shane Ross, I think. Just because he provided so much entertainment, I thought, from both the opposition benches and from the government benches, from a journalistic point of view, I think. yeah, I stress that. you know, and I think we'll miss the likes of him and the likes of Finney McGrath, I think, and people like John Halligan, who, you know, whatever you think about their policies or their politics, you know, they went into government and it wasn't an easy decision for them to make. And yes, there was a little bit of pork barrel involved in that as well. But they, you know, I think they did the state some service. I mean, I think, you know, Shane Ross wasn't a terrible transport minister in the end. He brought in, he removed loopholes in drink driving laws amidst a lot of opposition to that. And, you know, he appears to have sorted a deal for the F to save the FAI, which shouldn't go unremarked upon.
OK, I have to take one last break now.
Email latedebate@rte.ie.